Let's come in our Bibles this morning to 2 Kings chapter 5, please. 2 Kings chapter 5. In our lead up to our gospel mission, we've been looking at the subject of soul winning, that we have not the right to remain silent, and we want to continue there this morning. 2 Kings chapter 5, this will be an account in Scripture that most of you are well aware of, the story of Naaman the leper. 2 Kings 5, I'm beginning to read at verse number 1, please. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. The Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him from his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus saith the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come from thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man thou sent unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh to quarrel against me." And it was so, when Elisha the man of God had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go wash St. Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, "Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord his God, strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Abana and Pharpar, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. The servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he said unto thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down, dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And we do trust that God will bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word to our hearts. There was a man testified at one of D.L. Moody's meetings on one occasion, and he said to Mr. Moody, "I've been on the Mount of Transfiguration for 5 years. I've been spiritually on a high and living on that mountaintop experience." Moody said to him, "Tell me, have you witnessed to anybody but Jesus Christ? Have you led anyone to Christ?" He says, no, don't think so. And D.L. Moody said, "We don't want that kind of mountaintop experience. When a man gets so high up that he cannot reach down and speak to poor, lost sinners." And over the weeks, we've been looking at some teaching on the need to reach out. We are compelled to witness. We know that from the Word of God. We then looked at a church that can witness. We looked at a Christian who can witness, and how we need to be right with God in order to share the gospel with others. We then looked at Christ witnessing. And John chapter 4, described by the late Pastor Mullen as the greatest example of personal soul winning, personal evangelism anywhere in the Word of God. And so we come to reality here this morning. Does it really work? Can you and I really make a difference? Can we be used to speak to men and women and young people about Jesus Christ? Will it make any difference? Does it really make any difference? And so we want to look over the next few weeks, and not be here next Lord's Day, but we want to think of some characters who witnessed and to see that it really can make a difference. And the bottom line this morning is that you can make a difference. You could be the link that points someone to Jesus Christ. We can have our heads so much in the spiritual clouds that we can be so high up we don't know how to reach down. We don't want to be like that this morning. And I want to spend a bit of time looking at this account of Naaman. I particularly want to think of the little maid, but stay with me this morning. There's some things we just want to share here this morning. I want you to see a soldier who was sick here. And of course, we're thinking of Naaman. A CVs are an awful thing. I haven't had to fill in a CV for quite some time, but the temptation is to exaggerate, isn't it? To exaggerate how good we are, how good we have been. And sometimes on a CV, it's difficult to find one where you tell the truth. I think Naaman had a powerful CV. We see it in verse number 1. Now, Naaman, captain, he was a captain. Perhaps like Colonel Tim Collins, who that soldier that was in Iraq, he was a captain. He was a soldier. He was connected. It says he was a great man with his master. He was well in with those who were above him. He was not only a captain and connected, he had character. It says he was honorable. It's a good thing to be honorable. He was a man of his word. His word was his bond. He was an honest, upright man. He was a captain. He was connected. He was a character. He was a conqueror. It says the Lord had given him deliverance unto Syria. Even though this man wasn't a man of God, God had blessed him. And if you're here this morning and you're not saved, let me say, God has blessed you. God has been good to you. Because the very breath that you breathe, your next breath, is a gift from God. The house that you own, the house that you live in, the family you have, the job you have, the food you enjoy, God has been good to you. And God was good to this man. God gave him deliverance unto Syria. It shows you the Lord is the one that's in control. He was a courageous man. He was a mighty man of valor. I remember taking a funeral service for a deputy chief constable of the Royal Ulster Constabulary. And remember when they were paying tribute to this man in the RUC, they said even though he was deputy chief constable, he was in the Land Rovers in West Belfast at 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock in the morning. He led from the front. This man was no coward. This man was a courageous man. He wasn't an armchair general. But then you come to the end of the story and you see his contamination. But he was a leper. Isn't that so sad? And of course, leprosy in Scripture is a picture of sin. Leprosy is defiling. Leprosy is deadening. It's disassociating you. You were cut off from other people. It was deadly. There was no one cured. It's just like sin. And it's so sad this morning. We could read out your CV. You're good. You're honorable. You're decent. You're upstanding. You're not a rogue. You're not a thief. You're not involved in some of the things that others are involved in society. You're a good, upstanding character, but you're not saved. Be so sad if that's how you end your days. And here's Naaman. He was a great man, but he was a leper. But then when we come to the end of the story, we discover a cure that was complete. Look at verse 14. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. According to the saying of the man of God, his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You know, he became like a little child. Can I say it like this? Childlike faith. How can I be saved? The Lord Jesus is offering you a gift this morning. And in simple childlike faith, you repent of your sin and you accept Christ as your Savior. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's a step you're going to have to take if you want to be saved. And you can see the cleansing here. You can see the confession in verse 15. He returned to the man of God, he and all his company, this is Naaman, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth. He confesses the Lord. He has believed in his heart. He's confessing with his mouth. He's saved. This man's changed. Look at his commitment in verse 17. Now Naaman said, There not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules, burdens of earth. For thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering or sacrifice unto other gods. He turned from idols to serve the living and the true God. You see how this man is totally changed. He's saved by the grace of God. Listen, you could be saved this morning, and your life can be totally changed. And it's just childlike faith. Let me ask you this morning, what are you waiting on? Are you waiting for a bolt to drop from heaven and hit you between the eyes? Are you waiting until you're lying on a deathbed? You could wait and miss your opportunity. You see, as we look at the soldier who was sick, we see the cure that was complete. And then there are some lessons here from the links. Let me say there are at least seven links from Naaman being that leper until he's clean. Could I say it like this? From being a sinner until he's cleansed from his sin. There were at least seven involved. There was the young maid in verse number 3, and we'll say more about her very shortly. There was an unnamed servant that talks about her mistress. It talks in verse 4 about one went in. That could well be Naaman himself. The Hebrew is not that clear, but there was the young maid. There was an unnamed servant. When you get to verse 5, the king of Syria, he's brought into the act. And then when you go to verse number 7, you read about the king of Israel. He's involved. And then in verse number 8, you read about Elisha. It was so when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there's a prophet in Israel." And then there's Elisha's messenger, verse 10. Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Do you see so far six people involved? Look at verse 13. Naaman's servant is even involved. Do you remember he leaves in a rage? And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then when he saith unto thee, wash and be clean?" Listen, have I said to you this morning, if you get enough money, you can buy salvation, you can escape hell, you would do your best to get it. Have I told you had to climb the mountains of Mourne up to a certain height, you would be up trying to do it just to escape hell. But here it's simpler than that, isn't it? Wash and be clean. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Can't make it any simpler this morning, but do you see all the links? T.S. Randall said this, "You are a link. Therefore, do not keep silent lest you are that missing link. You are a link. Therefore, don't lose heart. If you don't have the joy of leading that person to Christ, you have been a link in the chain. You are a link, and if you are the one that has the joy of leading someone to Christ, remember, you're only a link. You're just a link. That's all. I wonder this morning, are we the weakest link? The Lord is looking for links to reach people with the gospel. And I want to think of this little maid for a moment this morning, and I promise you I'll be brief. You see something in verse 7 that's very clear. It came to pass when the king of Israel had read the letter. You remember this letter comes from the king of Syria. That he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive? That this man thus sent unto me to recover a man of his leprosy. Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." The king, we could criticize him in some ways, but one thing we can't criticize him for, he realizes only God can do this. It's God and God alone. We have to be clear when we present the gospel. That there's not a preacher, there's not a pastor, there's not a parson, and there's no priest that can change a man's life. There's not a church, there's not a creed that can change a man's life. Only Christ, and Christ alone. That's why you need Christ. You see, if you look to some of God's people, I'm afraid you'll be disappointed. But when you look to Christ, there's no disappointment. Christ is the unchanging one. You see something clear when it comes to the gospel. You see something concealed here. Look at verses 9 and 10. Here's Elisha. "So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him." Do you see what Elisha does? keeps himself out of the picture. As you know, I used to do some fishing. Now, I haven't been fishing for years. Caleb has wanted to go fishing, but neither him nor I can find the time to go fishing. I was speaking to Mrs. Ray's grandson at the funeral, Andrew. You know Andrew Ray. Andrew's a reigning Ulster fishing champion. I'm certainly not in that league. But there's one thing you're taught about fishing. Rule number one, get yourself out of the way. Rule number two, get yourself further out of the way. Rule number three, get yourself even further out of the way. Because if you stand and the fish see you, they're never going to bite. This is what Elisha does. He takes himself out of the picture. This is not going to be Elisha that heals this man. It's going to be God. Let's keep ourselves out of the picture. We can't change anyone's life. You see something clear. You see something concealed. You see something else in soul winning that we cannot change. Look at verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. Do you know what the messenger does? He brings the message that he's given. We can change the message. We have no right to alter this message. We have no right to change this message. We can't water it down. We can't jazz it up. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand, by the which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, then he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. We can't change the message, that's it. We have one gospel and one gospel only. And you see the servant? He brings the message that Elisha had given him. You see something clear. You see something concealed. You see something we cannot change. And then you see courage. Look at verse 11. We have to acknowledge this morning. And I'm just drawing little bits here. But Naaman was wroth. Now here's a courageous man. Here's a soldier that has fought in the battle and he's angry. I don't like to face an angry man or an angry woman, but certainly not a man like this. Here's an angry man. Look at verse 13. And the servants came near and speak unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee some great thing. It takes courage to speak to a man like that. Soul winning takes courage. You know, sometimes when your heart starts to beat really fast and you're so nervous and you're panicking and you wonder, should I? Yes, you should. It takes courage to share the news about Christ. And you see the courage of Naaman's servants here. They didn't want him to die and to be lost. It takes real courage. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We want to be a link. I'm going to move on this morning. You see a soldier who was sick. You see a cure that was complete. The lessons from the link. And then we see this maid with a message. And this is really what I want to share with you this morning. Just this little maid. And I want you to think of the hurt that she suffered. Because in verse number 2, you read that during the middle of the night, there were raiders come. And here's a little family living in peace and living in harmony and doing nobody any harm. And right in the midst of the night, these raiders come and they take their precious little daughter away. And they've lost their little daughter. The parents had no idea what had happened. As far as they're concerned, this little one's dead. She's been taken from them. We can only try and imagine what she must have felt. And then this little girl is taken and she's sold as a slave. And she's working in this place as a slave, as a servant in the home. She's been taken away from her home. She's been put into slavery, working in this environment. I wonder would I have said anything. I think my heart could have been so bitter and so angry. I would have felt so hurt. But I'm not going to say anything about my God. Look where God has taken me to. God has allowed me to be taken from my home. God has allowed me to be placed in this foreign country. God has allowed me to be put into slavery, more or less. And sometimes we feel we've been hurt so much that we don't want to open our mouths for Jesus. Things haven't fallen into line. Things haven't fallen into place. And the devil has shut our mouths. And this little maid, she was hurt. But somehow in her heart, she'd been taught Romans 8 and 28, and I know it's Old Testament, but somehow she knew that all things work together for good to them that love God. She's through a painful experience, but still she's going to say something. Is that why you've been silent? Have you been hurt? You see how humble she was. Verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. She's a little maid. How insignificant. How I don't know what age she was. I'm assuming she was a teenager, just a young teenage girl. What could she ever do for the Lord? I'm sure she felt insignificant. And Zechariah talks about we're not to despise the day of small things. Paul says God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. I wonder, have you been hurt? And as I see our young people going through the waters of baptism, what a message they preach. What a message. Just young people. Just not ashamed to stand in the tank and go under the water, and their friends are here and their families are here, and they're saying quite loudly and clearly, we belong to Jesus. We're not ashamed of him. And God can use those young ones. And here's the bottom line: God can use you this morning. If God can use this little insignificant young strap of a girl, he can use you. You see how hurt she must have felt, but she didn't let that hold her back. You see how humble she was. Let me say something about her habitation. Look at verse 2. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away the captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Why would anyone listen to a wee strap of a girl like that? Do you know what I believe? In this home, even though she was away from her home, away from her friends, away from her family, she must have had a mighty testimony. You see, if she had been cheeky, could I say this, in the workplace? See if she had been dishonest in the workplace. See if she had been one that would lose the temper in the workplace. One that you couldn't work with. Do you think anyone would have listened to her? I believe where God had placed her, God was able to use her. She decided not to let the hurt define her life. She was going to shine for Jesus where she was. And maybe you're not happy where you work. You're not happy where you live. There's a lot of things that you don't like. If God has put you there, God can use you there. And this young girl was determined to live for Christ and to live for the Lord where she just was. You see the hurt. You see the humility. You see the habitation. You see the hope that she had. Verse 3. Then said she unto her mistress, would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Do you see the faith she had? The Lord Jesus referred to this. In fact, this is the only part of this story that appears in the New Testament. Luke 4, verse 27. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Only one. A lot of people didn't believe that God could do this. This little girl believed. She had faith. Do you have that faith this morning? Some of you men brought neighbors with you yesterday, and some brought sons, and some brought brothers, and you brought friends with you who are not saved, and we thank God for that. Do you believe God can save them? When we get down to pray, and it's great to hear people have been prayed for, do you believe that God can save them? See those people that you rub shoulders with? Do you believe that God can save them? This little strap of a girl, taken away from home in a far country, in a place she was forced to work, she believed that God could do something for Naaman. Do you see the hope that you had this morning? You know, can I say something about her home this morning? This is just a wee girl. She knew who the prophet was. She knew where the prophet was. And she knew what the prophet could do. I believe her mum and dad brought her up in the things of God. I believe from her mummy or her daddy's knee that she was taught from the Old Testament stories that they would have had at that time. And somehow she was taught as a child what God is able to do, just like we do in the Sunday school, just like we do in the Good News Club, just like mums and dads should do at home. Tell their children the wonderful stories that's found in the Word of God. This little girl had been taught because she knew the prophet, she knew the place, she knew the power, she knew everything. Even though she's away from home, she never forgot it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mums and dads, this wee girl had been well taught. She had parents that cared about her soul and somehow brought her up to love the lost and to care about other people. Don't give up on the wee ones. Don't ever think that what you pour into your children is a waste of time. It's the most valuable thing you'll ever plant in their little hearts, the Word of God. One day our children will step out into a hostile world. And how hostile it was for this wee girl. And yet she had the confidence and belief in what she'd been taught. She was well brought up as a child. Let me say this. She was honorable. I've already mentioned this. She was obviously one who had a testimony at home. One who had a testimony in the place. One who shone for Jesus Christ. But you know, perhaps the most amazing thing is that she wanted to help. Verse 3. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Let me say this. This man had her imprisoned. Surely she should want him dead. Why would she care about a man like that? Surely she would want him to die. Maybe she could escape. She could go back and see if her parents, maybe they killed her parents, I don't know. Maybe she could try and find her home, and if he was out of the picture, things might be easier. Surely she should want him dead. No, she doesn't. She doesn't want him to die. And to go to hell. Such was the burden, and such was the vision, and the concern she had for the lost. You know, we don't know what her name is. We have no idea what she was called. She's so insignificant. She'd been badly hurt. She worked in a hostile place, an ungodly place, and yet she was able to witness for Jesus Christ. Here's something for parents to know what it is to lose a child. Her parents never knew how God used that situation. They never knew. And they never knew, and I have no doubt they wept and wept and wept and wept. But they never knew what God was doing. And they wouldn't know to glory. May that comfort your hearts even this morning. You see the soldier who was sick. You see the cure that was complete. You see the lesson from the lynx. You see the maid with the message. Let me read this out, and with this I'm finished. You lived next door to me for years. We shared our dreams, our joys, our tears. A friend to me you were indeed, a friend who helped me in my need. My faith in you was strong and sure. We had such trust as should endure. No spats between us e'er arose. Our friends like us and so our foes. What sadness then, my friend, to find that after all you weren't so kind. The day my life on earth did end, I found you weren't a faithful friend. For all those years we spent on earth, you never talked of second birth. You never spoke of my lost soul or Christ that could make me whole. I plead today from hell's cruel fire and tell you now my last desire. You cannot do a thing for me, no words today my bonds to free. But do not err, my friend, again. Do all you can for the souls of men. Please with them now quite earnestly. Plead with them now quite earnestly, lest they be cast in hell with me. The little maid didn't look for excuses. She took the opportunities. May God help you. May God help me to look for the opportunities. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example of this little girl. And Lord, Scripture records for us to encourage us that God can use any one of us this morning. Help us, Lord, to pray for those opportunities. Help us, Lord, when you open the door, may we be willing to step through and speak a word, share an invitation, share a gospel tract, offer a seat, whatever, Lord, you want us to do. Lord, give us the burden and the vision and the love that this little maid had to tell someone about her Lord. Heavenly Father, there's no doubt there's hurting people. And Lord, sometimes we hurt, and because we hurt, we give up. Lord, we don't want to diminish the hurt that people have suffered. But Lord, this young maid even could see in the hurt an opportunity to speak about her Lord. Lord, just bless thy word to our hearts. Perhaps, Lord, there's some here this morning like Naaman. What a mighty CV they have. What an impressive young man, young woman, older man, older woman they are. But. Lord, they're still in their sin. Lord, before this mission starts, may we see some precious soul saved. What an encouragement that will be to the people of God in Refrainant. Hear our prayers, Lord, for we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. We're going to sing in closing for this part of the service. It's number 681. Words will be on the screen. Hark, 'tis the shepherd's voice I hear. The chorus is perhaps better known. Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. May we have the joy over our 2 weeks of mission of bringing them in from the fields of sin. They won't come in if you don't bring them. Let's stand and sing this hymn together. Thank you. Lord, we thank you for that time when we were brought in from the fields of sin. And Lord, as we spend time around this table, Lord, we'll reflect on that. And thank you again for saving our souls. Bless those who must leave us now. And Lord, as we continue around this table, may we know a real sense of the presence of our Savior. For it's in and through his precious name we pray. Amen.